The following program is a presentation of CRN Digital Talk Radio and Les Kincaid. And now it's time for Wines du Jour with your host, Chef Les Kincaid.
Thank you for joining us on Wines du Jour, broadcasting this time from McMullen's Irish Pub in Las Vegas, Nevada. My guest tonight is Neil Burns, who is the manager here, and look forward to our celebration and great food pairings as well. Also, we have some great California wine. No, we don't. We have great Australian wines called Yellowtail. We'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later, to go along with this great Irish fare that is very, very interesting here in Las Vegas. Being America's number one syndicated radio food and wine program, we bring you great information about good wines and good food on each and every episode. Thank you for your inquiring emails sent from your home country, from all around the world, from the East Coast, from the Left Coast, from Ireland, from Baja California, and from Scotland. I want to thank everybody and ask you to join us here on Wines du Jour. And our special guest tonight, we have an invited guest audience that are both hungry and thirsty, and we're going to be getting the wine out shortly. Our program broadcasts each week, remembering that each time we reflect on what we're all about, and that is, wine is food. A meal is a meal, but with a glass of wine, it's a celebration. From casual gatherings to formal affairs, wine celebrates any event. So remembering also that we discover lots of information, taste, and flavor as we enjoy good fare and pair with that, the excellent wines, because wine is bottled poetry. If this is your first time listening to Wines du Jour, stay tuned. You need to know that we do not allow snobbery or intimidation in the room during our broadcast, and Wines du Jour and radio broadcast is distributed in all 50 states, all around the world via radio on CRN Digital Talk Radio Network, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Smart Radio, AHA Radio, and on several worldwide internet systems all around the globe. And we're also available on podcast and free on iTunes, and you can listen to us also on Wonder Radio and Warp Radio. You're listening to Wines du Jour. I'm your host, Les Kincaid. So don't touch that dial. We'll be back with fun, information, and great taste right here on Wines du Jour. But remember, a meal without wine is called breakfast. Happy Memorial Day, everybody, coming up this next weekend. If you know anybody that's in the service, give them a couple bucks. Buy them a drink. Buy their dinner. Do something nice for them. They're out there protecting us. You know, we're pretty safe here in America right now, and have been right along, and it's thanks to the people that are all around the world carrying our flag, if you know what I'm saying. So I want to talk tonight, before we get involved in our wines and our food pairing, about something that they do here at McMullen's Irish Pub. They've been doing it every year since the year 2000. They've done almost a million heads. And when I say heads, I'm talking about shaved heads. That is because of a foundation that's designed specifically for kids' cancer research and development. It's called St. Baldrick's Foundation. And I'm hoping like heck you'll write this down so you don't forget it. St. Baldrick's Foundation is a volunteer-powered charity committed to the fund of promising research to help children's cancer and give survivors a long life. They're proud of the success that they've achieved, but there's also a long way to go. I'm going to tell you a few things that I didn't know that's kind of interesting but almost sad, if you know what I'm saying, and that is more than 175,000 kids are diagnosed with cancer each and every year here in America. Worldwide, over 300,000 are diagnosed with cancer each year, and here in the U.S., more children die from cancer than any other disease. That's including AIDS, asthma, cystic fibrosis, diabetes, all combined. Unbelievable. Got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about St. Baldrick's Foundation here at McMullen's Irish Pub. Be back in a moment. Thank you. Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're having a great time here at McMullen's Irish Pub. We're out on the patio this evening. Boy, what a great place. The weather is absolutely perfect here. And, of course, it is the Memorial Day weekend coming up. And I discovered something today that I wasn't aware of. There are over 65,000 people visit Las Vegas during this coming weekend, between now and Monday. Unbelievable. Well, what that means is almost every room is going to be taken. That's one of the things that they have. And you hear me talk every once in a while about some of the hotel rooms. We have one hotel currently, and there's another one being built as we speak that has over 3,000 rooms. And it's up to them to rent those rooms each and every day. That's a heck of a chore, and it's got to be more than two people making that happen, if you know what I mean. That's incredible. One of them, of course, and the current one, not the one under construction, which is actually Chinese, I might add, the current one is the MGM Grand. And the MGM Grand gave me a statistic here about a year ago that they prepare over 9,500 meals every 24 hours, 365 days out of the year. That is an enormous amount of food. So you can just imagine the dock in the back of the hotel where they deliver the food has got to be standing in line waiting to unload your truck, if you know what I mean. It's just unbelievable. What that really means is that people come here to Las Vegas because it's a great place to visit. In fact, over 45 million people visit Las Vegas each year. Unbelievable number. And that's through the McCarran Airport. That doesn't count Southern California, and that doesn't count Arizona and the other states that surround us where people drive to quite often. So we're a busy city. We're not just a casino. We have a lot of hotels, and one of the things that's happened over the last 12 to 15 years is that we've changed the lineup, if you will, of quality food and wine. It used to be New York City had, hands down, the best food and wine available anywhere in America. That's now Las Vegas. Sorry, New York. And one of the reasons that that's happened is a number of the executive chefs and celebrity chefs from New York have moved to Las Vegas because, hey, you can't live in a better climate, if you know what I'm saying. We don't have any snow or wind or sleet, and we have very little rain, actually. In fact, it turns out that Las Vegas has less than 5 inches of rain a year. Most people have 5 inches of rain a month or more. So that's a good thing. On the other hand, it is desert-like. If you don't like the heat, then you want to stay indoors because air conditioning is everywhere, 24/7. So I wanted to mention a couple more things about St. Baltric Foundation because what they do each year, and this is nationwide, is they have a little head-shaving event. And what that means is people donate money to people that have their heads shaved, and that money goes to the St. Baldrick's Foundation to help cure cancer for children. I think that's a good thing. You know, as far as I'm concerned, children deserve to live happy, carefree, cancer-free lives. And make a one-time donation if you want to do that, or you can find out where the head shaving is going to take place. I believe it's in April of each year here around the country. And I'm going to give you a phone number just in case you're interested in making a donation or finding out more about it. You can always, of course, go to your website to stbaldricksfoundation.com, or you can call 888-899-2253. Okay, that's enough of that for this evening's program. Tonight, as I mentioned earlier, we're featuring a winery from Australia. It's called Yellowtail. And Yellowtail is Australia's largest winery. They make more wine in Yellowtail in Australia than any other winery there, which is kind of unique. And we think because of the volume that the quality can't be too high, and that's where we make a mistake, because it's not true. The quality for Yellowtail is actually pretty doggone good. Our first wine this evening, however, is what I would like to think of more of as a dessert wine. It's sweet, and if you're not into sweet wine, you might want to, you know, just say, oh, here, you can use mine if you want. But it's a Moscato. Now, Moscato is a popular wine. It's, as I mentioned, a very sweet wine, but it's very light. And Yellowtail Moscato is, listen to this, 7.5% alcohol. Now, that's half of what most wines are. So that just means that you don't have to worry about pairing this wine with food so much from the alcohol percentage standpoint, but you do have to be concerned with it for the sweetness. And we say that most of the sweet wines we use generally as a dessert wine, and the concept there is that the dessert should not be sweeter than the wine. Make sense? Because if you have it sweeter, what happens is the wine tastes kind of funny because of the sugar, if you know what I mean. So that's just, Moscato's just about the only one that you have to be concerned about there. And it's kind of fun to have it once in a while. And, of course, this time of the year, when the sun's out and we're having a good time around the pool and so on, it's not a bad thing to have a fairly sweet wine to enjoy if you choose to do that. This has a lot of peaches in the flavor. If you'll taste this, our audience here is drinking it as we speak, and if you'll taste this, I think the peaches and apples and pears is a typical thing that not only makes it sweet, but gives you the impression as to why it's sweet. It also has something that we need to talk about probably only because some people have the wrong idea of it, and that is the cap that's on the bottle. It's called a Stelvin closure. That's the proper name for it. Everybody else calls it a screw cap. And you have to know that screw cap wines is not based on quality or price. Screw cap is actually something that more and more wineries are doing on a regular basis now. They've increased the amount of screw caps or Stelvin closures that they're using on their wines compared to 5 or 10 years ago. In fact, in Australia, over 85% of all wines bottled there are Stelvin closures as opposed to cork. Now, some of the old people, I say old in terms of old core type people, that think that Cabernet Sauvignon, as an example, is not good if you don't blend something with it, or if you do blend something with it, or if you put it in a bottle with a screw cap. It can't be quality. And that's just so far wrong, you can't believe. So please don't let the screw cap or the Stelvin closure have you skip a bottle and try something else instead, because it absolutely has nothing to do with it. In fact, corks, as I'm sure everybody's aware, have a problem and have had since day one. And when I say a problem, it means that many corks end up being imperfect, if you will, and therefore allowing air to get into the bottle. That could be on the shelf, it could be in your refrigerator, whatever, but the air gets into the bottle and that turns or changes the wine. In fact, there are a number of people that go to a fine dining restaurant, order a great bottle of wine off the wine list. The sommelier comes over and opens the wine, and you know, they give you the cork, and a lot of people say, what am I supposed to do with that? And the answer is nothing if you don't want to, but if you want to smell the cork, you're going to smell it to see if it's moldy or not. That's the only reason you want to smell the cork. Or just ignore it, if you will. That's just an old tradition that's kind of gone by the wayside over the last several years. But at the same time, when you get that wine, an ounce or so poured in your glass, you want to make sure that you take a look at it. And that's the way I'd like you to do with every glass of wine that you get, is to take a look at it before you even taste it. And we're not looking for sawdust or beasties in here. We're looking for light reflection. And you'll find that if you do this often, that you'll see where some reflection is better than others. And amazingly enough, the ones with the better reflection have a better taste than some of the others. So that's just something to kind of give you a little forewarning about what's not so good or what might be excellent. Then the second thing to do, of course, is to swirl the wine. And we like to swirl it for about 10 seconds. And that just gives us an opportunity to get the wine up the side of the glass. And then we're going to stick our nose right down in the glass and take a whiff. And this is where you can smell the peaches, you can smell the pears. It's just an automatic thing in this particular case with the Moscato. But then we're going to taste it. And I just want you to recognize the first taste that you make each time, each day, the first taste of wine, you ignore it. Because what that first one does is we want to kind of wallow it around in our mouth, kind of like mouthwash, and then swallow it and not pay any attention to it. What we're trying to do is, I don't want to say sanitize your mouth, but we want to kind of clean it up a little bit so that when we take our second sip, we can actually taste the wine. It's amazing the difference in taste between the first and the second sip of wine on a daily basis. So I'm not trying to be smart. I'm just telling you that's really, truly the way it is. So then you're going to taste it. Put maybe an ounce or three quarters of an ounce in your mouth and kind of wallow it around a little bit and hold it for a second, and then very slowly swallow it. And swallowing it is going to give you an indication about some of the quality of the acidity and the tannin that might be in the wine. In this case, it's very simple. It's easy. It kind of just disappears when you swallow it. You don't have any lingering finish like we are going to experience in the other two wines that we're going to have this evening. But we know that it's sweet. It's very floral. And one other thing that I get out of this Moscato is cantaloupe. So if you think cantaloupe, take a whiff and take a sip and see if cantaloupe doesn't kind of come up. Hey, that does taste a little bit like cantaloupe. That's a good thing. Well, I happen to think that's a pretty good product. Thank you. So, light. It's a very nice summer drink. On the other hand, as an alternative, if you're not into the sweeter wines, the Moscato, and incidentally, I might mention to you that most people that are starting to discover wine and want to learn more about it, they usually start out and prefer the sweeter wines as opposed to a drier wine. And I hear people periodically say, oh, this is a very sweet, dry wine. And I have to tell you, and I'm not trying to be smart, there is no such thing as a sweet, dry wine. You're either sweet or you're dry. There is, you know, there are both ends of the spectrum, if you will. So there's no such thing as a dry, sweet wine or vice versa. Now, the Stelvin closure actually keeps your wine safer than corks do. I started to talk to you about the fact that we have a problem periodically with a wine not tasting real good when the sommelier brings it over and has you taste it. That ends up when you tell them, look, this tastes funny or weird or good or not so good or whatever the case may be, and they take it back. The restaurant, just so you know, doesn't get stuck with that at all. They turn it over to the distributor that they bought it from, and the distributor turns it over to the winery that they bought it from, and the winery ends up, let's call it, eating the cost of that bottle of wine. Now, the reason I'm talking about how good Stelvin closures are as opposed to cork is that with corked wines, traditionally, and we're talking about hundreds of years of making wine and putting corks in the bottle, we have anywhere from 8 to 15% of the wines that the winery puts in the bottle comes back to them as a flawed wine. That's a lot. So if I were to change from corks to Stelvin closures and increase my income 8 to 15%, would you be willing to do that? Unless you're just not a business person, you're damn right you would. And that's what's happened over the years. But we had to prove that the Stelvin closure was not a bad thing, that it wasn't a cheap thing, it wasn't an also-ran. And we discovered that it's actually as good or better than corks. I know that sounds weird. Some people are going to say baloney, but I'm sorry, folks. The statistics show that it's an absolute fact. So keep in mind, Stelvin closures are a good thing. And I hope to have you take a look at Stelvin closures in the future. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the food that goes along with something like Moscato. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back coast to coast and around the world on the Internet right here on Wines du Jour. Welcome back to Wines du Jour. Boy, I have to tell you, the chef has really outdone himself tonight. He took some fresh pears, which is not a bad thing at all, and roasted the heck out of them just perfectly. And then he's taken some things, well, he's made a salad with the roasted pear. So if you take a pear, core it so that you get the seeds and everything out of it after it's roasted or before. Either way, it's good for you. And then cut it in half. So you got half a pear, put it on the plate. And then where the coring is, he's taken beautiful fresh lettuce leaves and put down into that slot. And then around it, he's taken some nuts, some dried cherries, and a little bit of sauce. And I have to tell you, it pairs perfectly with this Moscato, doesn't it? I mean, they both taste good. Now, this is not as sweet as the Moscato, so it pairs very, very well. That's the real key. Okay, enough of that, I guess. I just want to make sure that you understand about the Stelvin closure. I'm not going to harbor on it, but it's really important to kind of get that disdain that so many people have in their mind about Stelvin closures, because it's really not a negative thing. Another thing that one of our regulars said to me during the break, he said, you know, laying that wine down with the cork is important, but when you have a Stelvin closure, you don't have to lay the bottle down. You can sit it up straight. In fact, if you go to the retail wine stores, probably 90% of all their wines are standing up anyway. So if you ever question them about how come, you know, you tell us to lay them down because of the cork, etc., but everyone here is standing straight up, what's the deal? And the answer is, well, this is only a temporary home for it. So when you get it home and put it in your cellar, make sure you lay it down. Well, okay, I guess that'll work, I guess, if you need to have an excuse, that's one. But the beautiful part about Yellowtail now is not only is it a large and very friendly wine from Australia, but I have to tell you, I got something that I thought was kind of interesting. I'm going to give you some information on here in a second if I can find it. And in 2012 and 2013, Wine Spectator gave the Yellowtail Winery the Best Bargain Wine Award. So 2 years in a row, they have the best bargain of wines. Now, they don't give, if just because a wine is a bargain price doesn't mean they're going to win anything, because the quality isn't, it's not going to work. But so if you've got good quality but you've got a very low price, that's how you end up winning awards like that. One of our friends that we use their products periodically that is one of those that has great quality at low prices is a California winery called Barefoot. And Barefoot wines are just really tasty and very, very expensive. Almost 100% of their wines sell for like $7.99 a bottle, no matter what it is, whether it's bubbly or whether it's a still wine. So it's kind of the same concept that Yellowtail has taken to themselves and made it work very, very successfully. And incidentally, Yellowtail is in over 40 countries. So it's not just here in America. It's in a lot of places. So literally you can travel around the world and probably find a Yellowtail product if you're looking for it, similar to Barefoot. Barefoot is another one that's all the way around the world. And I think that's kind of interesting. Now, Yellowtail has a pretty unique logo, which is I guess you would call it a kangaroo. I'm not sure if that's what you... I think it's a kangaroo without any question. And it looks like a kangaroo, and they just call it Yellowtail. Now, if you go down to Australia and you look around for the kangaroos, you're not going to find somebody that's raising kangaroo like they would beef or pork or chickens or whatever. Nobody raises kangaroo in Australia. They run wild in the center of Australia, which is not inhabited at all. It's wild out there. So the kangaroos just run wild. If somebody needs a kangaroo, they drive out there and harvest it. That's it. Take it back to town and put it on your plate. When Tammy and I first went to Australia, I think the second dinner meal that we had there was kangaroo. And we looked at each other kind of like, are we going to try this or not? Well, guess what? We asked for seconds, It is really tasty. When it's cooked halfway reasonable, it's very good. Don't look at the picture and say, oh, kangaroo. It's like looking at the bunny and say, no, on rabbit or lapin. That's just not the way you need to do it, because kangaroo is a very tasty thing. And many other of the animals that we're not familiar with too much here in America that are pretty common down there is actually very tasty. They've got good taste in Australia, I have to tell you. And, of course, they've got some absolutely wonderful wines over and above Yellowtail brand. So we've got to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about wine number two, which is one of my favorite varietals, and that is Pinot Noir. And I think you're going to like it. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back. I want to mention a little bit more about this Yellowtail Moscato before we go on to the Pinot Noir, only because, again, it's 7.5% alcohol, which is pretty low. And several people ask me, how much is this? How much is this? And the answer is it's about $6.99 in the store, okay, in a retail store. And remember, it has a Stelvin closure, which is not a bad thing. It all comes from the Yellowtail Winery, and most of their vineyards are located in the southeast part of Australia. And if you've ever been to Australia, you know that the southeast part is about 95% all vineyards and wineries, which is a good thing. And then a town that my wife and I both fell in love with is right in the middle of that vineyard area is called Adelaide. That is a beautiful town. If you have a chance to go to Australia, that's make sure you go to Adelaide as opposed to some of the bigger towns, which is more like Los Angeles, if you know what I mean. Okay, let's go on now to Yellowtail Pinot Noir. This is the 2014 release. It is 13.5% alcohol, which is an excellent thing. It is pretty fruity, I think, but it's well-balanced. It has a lot of the cherry, which is a typical thing for Pinot Noir. It also has a nice dark chocolate taste to it, which I happen to think is pretty nice. It's very smooth. If you get a chance to taste it, they're going to be pouring it here in just a moment. You get a chance to taste it. It's very smooth, and it has that raspberry and the finish on this, when you swallow this Pinot Noir, gives what I refer to affectionately as a long, lingering finish. In other words, once you swallow it, you can continue tasting it, if you will, for a few seconds after you swallow it, which is a good thing when it comes to wines in particular. It's kind of spicy. The raspberry, I happen to think, is good. And, of course, the cherry is very dominant in this particular Pinot Noir. Now, what can you have for Pinot Noir? Well, if you're in Europe, and we talk about London, we talk about Wales, we talk about Ireland, we talk about Scotland, we talk about fish and chips, very, very common. Fish and chips are a very, very ordinary, run-of-the-mill available item there in that area. And tonight, the chef has taken the Pinot Noir from Yellowtail in Australia and paired it with fish and chips. I think that's pretty cool. And I think you're going to find that it tastes really well together, both of them. As soon as we get the wine, we're a little bit slow here getting our Pinot Noir delivered to our guests this evening, but it'll be on its way shortly. What are some of the things that you can enjoy Pinot Noir with as far as food is concerned? And I think pork tenderloin is probably one of my favorite things to serve with Pinot Noir. But turkey is another one. People ask me all the time about, you know, what's a good wine to have with Thanksgiving turkey? And the answer, in my opinion, if you're looking for a red wine, is Pinot Noir is a pretty good choice. The white wine, I guess we have to go to Chardonnay, which is not my favorite wine to pair with food. But in this case, with the roasted turkey, it works out very well. If you like beef, if you like veal, if you like fish or cheese of almost any kind of a semi-hard to hard cheese, Pinot Noir is a very good item to have along with that. That's not so bad. Now, the price for this wine is pretty reasonable as well. Believe it or not, it's $7.99 a bottle. And for a decent Pinot Noir, that is a very, very good price. So 13.5% alcohol, that's a good thing. And also $7.99 for a bottle. When we talk about a bottle of wine, we're talking about 750 milliliters. Now, in America, we don't have a clue what a milliliter is. Maybe you watched the Pall Mall commercials years ago. You might get the 100-millimeter length, but that's about it. But 750 millimeters converted into English, or American, if you will, is about 25.4 ounces. So how many bottles... how many glasses of wine do you get out of a bottle? And the answer is a glass of wine should be about 5 ounces. That's typical. They recommend 5 ounce pours. And so with 25.4%, you get 5 glasses of wine out of a bottle. So if you're figuring a party or something, they'll give you an idea on how many bottles to have instead of buying 2 or 3 cases and then taking 1.5 cases back the day after the party. 25.4% or 25.4 ounces is the liquid in American, or 750 milliliters is that for everywhere else in the world. Now, we can buy 1.5. You see the large bottles. You see it in the store a lot. And usually it's a little less expensive than 2 bottles of 750. So you might want to consider buying a 1.5. It's only because of the packaging as to why it's less. It's the same quality wine, same exact wine, as a matter of fact. So 1.5 is a good thing. And you're going to get roughly 10 glasses of wine, 5 ounces each, out of that. Now, most bars and most lounges and even dining areas, when they pour a glass of wine, because people know that 5 ounces is right, they'll pour maybe 6 or even 7 ounces, but you pay for it, if you know what I'm saying. So you might pay $15 for a glass of wine at a fine dining, and the same wine at your local sports bar might be $1 or $2 less. Got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the fish and chips that went along with this Pinot Noir, but we'll be back coast to coast right after those messages. Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're talking about the 13.5% alcohol content on the Yellowtail Pinot Noir. 13.5% is a little bit on the low side. It used to be that was average or a little bit on the high side, but a few years ago when winemakers and winery owners decided they were going to allow the grapes to stay on the vine until the sugar content, or the Brix as we call it, gets up a little bit higher than in the past, only because by having a higher amount of sugar in the grape when you harvest it, it gives you the opportunity of making a wine that's more drinkable immediately instead of allowing it to lay down for 6 months or 9 months or a year before you do, which is the way it's been for hundreds of years. So that happened, and when that happened, you know, the more sugar you put with yeast, the more alcohol you get, and that's what's happened. Instead of taking the grapes out of the vine with about 25% Brix or sugar, they're waiting now until it's like 31, 32, maybe even 35% sugar. And there you go. More sugar, more yeast, more alcohol. So what's typical today is anywhere from 14.5 to 16% alcohol. I'm pretty much opposed to. I understand the reasoning behind it, and I can't blame anybody for wanting to make their money now instead of down the road. But when it comes to my passion, which is pairing food and wine, it's more difficult by far to pair wine that has high alcohol than wine that is, 13 and a half or what have you. So that's the way I look at it. In fact, the next wine that we're going to have, which is Australia's most popular red grape, that's called Syrah. They refer to it affectionately as Shiraz. That's their little lingo for it. It only has 13.0% alcohol content. That, my friends, is unbelievably good. Syrah is, again, most popular red wine in Australia. And at 13% alcohol, you know darn good and well it's going to go with a lot of food. I want to talk before I talk, excuse me, before I talk about the food with the Syrah, I want to finish talking a little bit about the food for the Yellowtail Pinot Noir, and that is fish and chips. I just mentioned to it briefly, but the tartar sauce that they serve with it is very nice. The chips are cooked, which are another word for French fries. That's an English term, chips. but French fries along with some fresh white fish that's been battered and deep fried just until it's just perfectly cooked. Not overcooked and certainly not undercooked, but it's a little crispy on the outside and nice and tender on the inside. And then you can kind of marinate it, if you will, or dab it into a little bit of that tartar sauce, and the taste is good. If you like, there's a little wedge of lemon that you can add to that. I'm not a big lemon juice on everything person, but there's a lot of people that do that, and that's fine. I like the pork tenderloin. I like turkey. I like beef and veal and fish and cheese with my Yellowtail Pinot Noir. Okay, enough said. Let's go now to number three, which is our final wine for this evening, and that is the Syrah, or the Shiraz, depending on how you want to talk about it, at 13%. And this happens to also be, interesting enough, $7.99 a bottle at a retail level. So they've got the right idea. Don't charge too much. Give a good product, and it'll sell like crazy. That's how they became number one winery in Australia. So that's a good thing. It has a real oaky nose to it, this Shiraz does. So we're going to get that poured here in just a moment. But it has kind of an oaky nose to it, which is not a bad thing. And when I say oaky, I'm not talking about Oklahoma. I'm talking about oak barrels that we age wine in typically. It also has ripe cherry, which is more of a Pinot Noir type of a response, but this is very good. It has the blackberry and the blueberry and all the typical dark berries, as we call them, in the Syrah. And the Syrah is very, very tasty. If you like things like steak or you like barbecue, Syrah is something to consider. Steak for sure, barbecue, that and Zinfandel kind of go competition back and forth between the two. It kind of depends on whether you put a rub on it or put sauce on it on your barbecue, I'm talking about, as to which one you might want to choose between Zinfandel and Syrah. But Syrah is certainly a good choice for barbecue. It also goes well with veal and goes well with hard cheeses and any kind of beef. It could be roast beef and so on. Now, the pork tenderloin that I mentioned with Pinot Noir, it would be better to have Pinot Noir with a pork tenderloin than it would a Syrah. It would probably work, but my choice would most likely be Pinot Noir over that for a pork tenderloin. And pork tenderloin, of course, can be prepared in many different ways. You could take it and just slice it into individual patties, if you will, pound them out, maybe bread them with a little bit of flour, and saute them in some butter. And that alone is not too shabby. But you could also take the whole pork tenderloin and roast it in the oven is good. It's wonderful on the grill with or without anything other than salt and pepper. It's really up to you. But it's real tasty when it comes to things like Pinot Noir and or Syrah. That's not a bad thing whatsoever. Now, this Syrah not only has a little bit of the oakiness in it, it's full-bodied, which Syrah should be. Syrah and Cabernet Sauvignon are kind of neck and neck when it comes to full taste, if you know what I'm saying. So that, along with a little bit of strawberry, some spice, and so on. Got to go to a break. I'm sorry. We'll be back coast to coast and around the world on the internet. And we'll talk more about this and a little bit of food, which is carrot cake to go with the Syrah. Welcome back to Wine Du Jour. Again, I just want to mention this Memorial Day weekend, and happy Memorial Day to everybody. This would be, this is a Thursday, of course. We got Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Over 65,000 people come to Las Vegas to visit. That's a lot. I don't know about you, but that's a whole lot of food. That's a whole lot of rooms. That's a whole lot of traffic. That's a whole lot of entertainment, et cetera, et cetera. And that's one of the beautiful things about Las Vegas. When you live here, you can appreciate it. When you come to visit, you're in awe, most people. They just can't believe that there's so much going on in one town. Everybody's heard about the Strip. And if you can go back a few years, the Strip was about one-third of what it is now. But today, I have to tell you, it is a beautiful sight just to drive down the Strip. Maybe it's 7 miles an hour, but all the lights and all the hotels on both sides of the Strip and so on is just unbelievably beautiful and very, very interesting. The entertainment in Las Vegas is the best anywhere in the world, has been for, I don't know, since the 50s at least, 1950s I should say, and it's not going to change. The hotel rooms and so on available are unbelievable. You can get a room here from $66 on up. I mean, that's just the way it turns out to be, and that's good, or at least I think it is, and it's probably as inexpensive, if not more, or less expensive, if you will, than your hometown. So, and you don't have all the other things that you can go and get involved in. Some of it costs money as far as entertainment. Some of it is free. So you can come to town and be entertained without spending a lot of money if you choose to do that, or you can get some of the superstars that are coming here to entertain and get involved in that. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about Yellowtail Syrah. It's a 2015 release. That's the current release, if you will. And it's not really that expensive. $7.99 is pretty reasonable as far as I can tell. Any wine less than that, I don't know if you even want it. But when you have a brand like Yellowtail, knowing that they've got great value for a little money, it's a perfect thing to choose, as far as I'm concerned. And as I mentioned earlier, a little bit of that Yellowtail Syrah with a barbecue is a really good thing. Now, when it comes to barbecue, I want to mention two things. Number one, you talk about burgers and fries and hot dogs. That is not barbecue, folks. That's grilling. Please don't confuse the two. When we do barbecue, we generally have a large piece of meat that we put in at a low temperature over a long period of time. That's called barbecue. The barbecue sauce now, you can put it on anything. I know people that do great steaks, porterhouse, T-bones, and so on, and just brush barbecue sauce over it when they take it off the grill, and they think that's a good thing. Okay, that's fine if that's what you like. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Also, cheeses. If you haven't tried cheese with wine, go to your local retail store that sells cheese and talk to them about what kind of wine goes with what kind of cheese and try it. You'll be amazed at what a wonderful pairing that cheese and wine is. Now, that doesn't mean go buy Velveeta and buy a glass of port. That's not what we call pairing. That's kind of a shame. We don't want to do that. So anyway, the fact that we've had some beautiful Pinot Noir, some wonderful Syrah, the carrot cake, I don't have to say much about that, except that there's probably 200 different recipes for carrot cake around the country. The one here at McMullen's Irish Pub is an excellent one. You're going to find out. And to have a nice dessert, which is carrot cake, with a wonderful Syrah is kind of like a surprise, and that's a good thing. They pair very, very well together. I want to thank you for listening to Wines Du Jour, food and wine program, coming to you of the show from McMullen's Irish Pub. We're America's number one syndicated food and wine radio show, and we broadcast each and every week at this very same time. If you've enjoyed the broadcast, tell everybody you know. And if you want to know more about my favorite subjects, just log on to my personal website, leskincaid.com or Wines du Jour. From Las Vegas, Nevada, I'm Les Kincaid. Good night, everybody, and happy Memorial Day.